The Sunday school is studying parables, and this is the parable that we're reading today is also the one they're studying in Sunday school. It's Luke 15, verses 1 through 10. Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling, saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." And so Jesus told this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that was lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his neighbors and his friends, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over the sinner who repents than the 99 righteous people who have no need for repentance. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, I have found the coin that was lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over the sinner who repents. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. I have this strong memory from my childhood about name tags that my mother put in my clothing. They were about this big, rectangular, and they were white fabric, and on them was written Maggie Lou Henderson, 113 Nova Drive, Piedmont, California. And she hand-sewed them in the back of my jackets and sweaters that I would wear to school. I didn't really like those name tags. They embarrassed me. I did not lose things. I was the kind of person that could take care of my own things. I was a big girl. Well, the truth was, I wasn't really aware when I lost things. My mother would say, "Maggie Lou, where is your jacket?" And I'd say, "I don't know." And that did not seem good enough for her. My things may not have been terribly fancy, and they weren't new, and they probably had lived on another child's back before. But to my mother, they were important, and they were worth the search. She wasn't pacified with, "I don't know where they are." I kind of hoped she would just buy me something new. But no. We would search my room and then the house, and then we'd call up the people I played with, and then if we didn't find it, we would go to the principal's office where the lost and found box was. And my mother would root through the lost and found items, looking at every collar until she found my item, and she would hold it up in triumph. Well, if that wasn't bad enough, there was summer when I went to camp for a month, and my mother would put those name tags on everything, not just jackets and sweaters, shirts, shorts, pants, socks, underwear, my sleeping bag, my pillow. If my mother could have figured out a way to put a name tag on me, she would have. My mom just knew that things were going to be lost. It's the way it was at camp. And there I discovered the joy of finding something lost, even if it was on the last day of camp. The stories in the scripture today are all about being lost and found, about a sheep and a coin, and about a son. But many times these first two parables get lost on our way to the story of the prodigal son. Sometimes we lose the intrigue of a parable and why parables were about getting to know and think in a new way, and how parables could be disturbing at times. A pastor friend of mine named Mary Jane reminded me that parables are the stories of God, and they're not supposed to be obvious. They are meant to tease our imaginations, to plant seeds of new thought. Someone said that myths are the stories that try to explain why the world is the way it is. And parables are stories which suggest the possibility of a world quite different than how we experience it, quite different than the way it is now. Jesus told parables to invite the disciples to imagine, to wonder what it really might look like if we lived in the realm of God here and now. Jesus was like that, always expanding people's ideas, challenging their sense of who was lost and who was found, disturbing their idea of what it meant to live in God's kingdom. The Pharisees in the story, they were at least okay or tolerated the fact that there were sinners and tax collectors near Jesus. I mean, everyone wanted to be near him and hear what he had to say. The Pharisees started grumbling when Jesus started inviting people to eat with him. And when you invited someone to eat with you, you made them the guest. You gave them the best place to sit. You showed them the best hospitality. And those Pharisees, they didn't want those kind of people near them. And they're kind of right. Tax collectors and sinners were really retrobates. I mean, they were not good people. And we think like that too. I mean, do you remember when your parents or maybe you have said to someone, "You're not hanging around the right kind of people. Good brings good and bad brings bad. If you hang around the right kind of people, maybe you'll start acting like them." Well, there's some truth in that. And Jesus speaks to this anxiety and he tells two parables. He tells three, but we're going to talk about two this morning. The interesting thing, did you notice when I read them that the story of the sheep and the story of the coin can be superimposed upon each other? Which man, woman, having 100 sheep or 10 coins, loses one is lost, does not leave or sweep, go after, seek, until he or she finds it? Which one, when he or she has found it, calls together his or her friends and says, "Rejoice for me, for I have found my lost sheep, my lost coin, which I had lost. Just so, there will be more joy. There is joy in heaven or before the angels of the one sinner who repents." You know, a twice told story gives us the signal there's something we need to pay attention to, that it's worth hearing, that maybe we even have trouble really listening to it. These two really are strange stories. I mean, let's talk about it. Who in their right mind leaves 99 perfectly good sheep to find the one? They leave these sheep in the wilderness, all vulnerable, on their own to find the one. It's not good practice. It's foolishness. The shepherd really should just have cut his losses, say, "I've got 99, that one can go off by himself." But not this shepherd. This shepherd searches with care and compassion for the lost sheep. And then when that lost sheep is found, he calls friends and neighbors to rejoice with him over that one lost sheep. Is that really the image of God we want? The next story is even a bit stranger, a bit more disturbing. Did you catch it? It's the image of God as a woman. Many times we kind of don't see those images of God in the Bible, but they're there. God as a mother breastfeeding a child, God as the hen with the chicks underneath her wings. We tend to focus on the images of God the king, the warrior, the father, but the story is here. And maybe it disturbs us a bit, this image of the woman. We hear this in the singing of the 23rd song. It might unrest you a bit. But maybe that's done so it takes us out of our complacency that thinks we know everything we already need to know about who God is. Maybe the story is so important that Jesus wants everyone, men and women, to have an image to hold on to relate to. It's easy to skip over because it's only in the Gospel of Luke. A housewife, a woman with a broom, yet there she is, diligent, searching, sweeping, looking for that one lost coin. The symbol of the broom has the same importance and power as a shepherd's crook, symbolizing God's care, God's tenaciousness to seek the lost. The sweeping woman will not stop until she finds that one lost coin. Now, a coin in that day was probably worth about one day's wages. It's important, but it's not enormous. It might mean that that woman doesn't have a reserve for when hard times come, or it might mean that week there is no meat on the table, just beans and rice or bread and olives. But it's not a matter of life and death, but it is to her. She stops everything, all the work ceases, and she looks for the coin. And you know how it was and is in traditional societies. There is no dishwasher, no microwave, no washing machine, no gas oven. You spend all your day just getting one day's worth. So if she stopped her work, it might throw off her whole week, or there may not be any food for that evening. But she searches for that coin. She lights a lamp, and she sweeps around the house. The thought was, maybe the lamp would catch the gold of the coin as the broom would hit it. See, I imagine her turning over the sofa cushions, going in those places you don't go, sweeping into places that even dust bunnies are scared to go into, until she finds that coin. And then she calls her friends and her neighbors and says, "Rejoice with me, celebrate with me. I have found my lost coin. Count on it." It's the kind of party that God's angels have every time a lost soul returns to God. The woman searches for the coin, and when she finds it, she celebrates. It's about welcome and the long searching reach of God. This is a God who searches and pushes under dark and dusty places looking for us. It isn't so much about saving, but welcoming. Saving is kind of individual. It's about power. And welcoming is about intimacy. It's about community. It's about all joining in that rejoicing. And did you notice that the main emphasis in the story is not on the coin being lost or found? It's really on the rejoicing that happens afterwards. That woman's joy cannot be contained to herself. She has to invite everyone else in. And I imagine she sent a neighbor boy to the market to get some more bread, some more olives, maybe even some more wine. And then maybe she brought out the extra she was saving in the pantry for a special celebration. And maybe her neighbors brought their food and laid it out. And maybe she spent more than that silver coin in getting all the things for that. And it was a feast. They joined in the uncontainable joy of God. The interesting thing is repentance really isn't the point of the story. The coin can't repent. It can't cry out. It is God who comes and seeks the sheep, seeks the coin, and does not stop until it is found. It isn't about mending our ways or being right so that God will love us. It's about God coming to us first. It's about being found. It's about God's love being a seeking love. And the point is, all get to join in that celebration. It's about love and mercy and grace. I wonder if you have ever felt like that lost sheep or that lost coin. I wonder if you really know or you long to know what it's like to have a God that seeks us out, who sweeps away the dust and the refuge of our life until we are found. I wonder if we're ever really lost to God or just feels like God is lost to us. I wonder if we can join in the joy when one is brought home and begin to see that all are precious. The one sheep, the one coin, us. I wonder if sometimes we're the lost and sometimes we're the found. Maybe sometimes we're the ones that celebrate. I wonder if we could become a church, a place, a community who tries to follow the one who searches, who sweeps. Maybe we could become the ones who seek the lost and then celebrate the found. Maybe it's us. I wonder if we can come a place where the shame is swept away from us, where we all find a place at God's table, get a taste of the amazing, seeking, searching, tenacious love of God. May it be so.